A reading from Psalms. By awesome deeds you answer us with deliverance. O God of our salvation, you are the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. By your strength you establish the mountains. You are girded with might. You silence the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the peoples. Those who live at earth's farthest bounds are awed by your signs. You make the gateways of the morning and the evening shout for joy. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide the people with grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with richness. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together with joy. Holy wisdom, holy word.
When I think about being a caretaker of the earth, I think about the first command in the Bible. There's this poetry in Genesis 1 where God creates a place and then creates creatures to fill it, right? You don't get birds before the sky. You don't get fish before the ocean. There's always this curation of space, and then belonging happens and life happens. And God gets into this rhythm of saying, oh, this is good. This is good. This is good. This is very good. And then it's not good because the earth creature is all alone. And not in a fun way, not in like a weekend away from people who are bothering you that you're locked up with during COVID. He's lonely. It's not solitude, it's loneliness. And so God creates another creature so that he'll have a companion and he'll have community and there will be somebody who understands what it's like to be a caretaker for all of this creation, naming things and feeling things and experiencing things in a way that the camel over there is not. So one of the very first commands, besides it is not good to be all by yourself all of the time with nobody like you to understand, is be fruitful and multiply and have dominion over all that I have made. At least that's what it says in a lot of our English translated Bibles. And humans have done a real number with the word dominion, haven't we? There are other ways to translate that word from Hebrew too. We could think of it as command and control and property and supremacy, or we could think of it as a privilege and responsibility and care. I want to tell you a story, partly because I don't know how to preach on the psalm. It preaches itself. It is good to be a caretaker of the earth. That's my sermon today, okay? But I want to tell you a story just to put another image in your mind's eye so that maybe this week you do a little extra marveling and you're a little extra tender with the earth around you. I have a picture of a bur oak tree here. And I don't know a lot about trees, but I do know that a bur oak likes a lot of personal space. And the way that it spreads its seeds makes sure that its whole canopy has lots of room to stretch and look fantastic all by itself. And so bur oaks do not naturally grow right near each other because they like to shine. They're lone wolves of the forest. And I want to tell you a story about bur oak trees. I was a high school student in Minneapolis when the light rail project going down Hiawatha was being built, late 90s. And you might remember, if you were in the Twin Cities 20 years ago, that some people were really excited about this construction because the old Hiawatha Road was just a race car death trap. It wasn't quite two lanes, and there were lots of potholes, and you just got through it. You just barreled through it as fast as you could. And it wasn't really a highway, but people drove on it like it was a highway. And this was going to mean an actual highway was going to be built instead. And then there were also going to be light rail tracks that would go all the way from the Mall of America to downtown Minneapolis. And this was the first light rail line that we had in the Twin Cities, and some people could imagine it and had been working for it for a long time, and some people thought, we don't need that. Some people were excited about the progress, even though they weren't excited about the road construction. And some people were really concerned about what would have to be destroyed in order to make all of this, this whole byway, this whole corridor happen. It would mean cutting into Minnehaha Park, really close to Coldwater Spring, which is this wellspring just north of Bedote, where the two rivers come together. Bedote means a river confluence. This huge wellspring of fresh water that was a sacred spot, just a glimmer of the Creator's abundance and a place where people had come for fresh water for thousands of years. And right near this Coldwater Spring were four old bur oak trees. And we know that they were planted on purpose because they were close enough together that their canopies overlapped. And so it was like being under a gazebo of oak when you were there. It was a sacred gathering place, a chapel in the outdoors right next to this cold water spring. And in order for this new road and this new light rail to come through, those four trees we're going to have to come down. We're going to be cut down, along with a lot of other old trees in Minnehaha Park. And so all of my junior year of high school, when I was commuting down Hiawatha, I would see hippies and Native Americans protesting in the trees. Maybe you remember this too. They would sleep in the trees at night, and then other protesters would come during the day. And I didn't know what to think about this complicated issue as a 16 or 17-year-old, but I know that if I don't get something to eat about every 3 hours, I get real hangry and lightheaded, and I would fall out of a tree. So I was packing lunches for the four people that I saw on my way to school in the morning, because I was in awe of what they were willing to do for this big issue I couldn't quite understand. And I paid attention to this. 16, 17-year-olds don't have to pay attention to much. But I was paying attention to this because it got in my way. It was on my way. It was in my route. And that's how we wake up to the world, right? When the world interrupts what we're up to. Well, I wish I could tell you that the hippies and the Native Americans won and those four trees still stand where they are, but we have a light rail train and we have a newish Hiawatha Avenue. They did come down. But before they came down, a local arborist came and took cuts of all four trees and brought them back to his arboretum, to his garden store, and raised them for 2.5 years in pots until they were big enough and strong enough to replant in the ground. These grandmother trees had granddaughter trees. And they wanted, this arborer wanted to gift them to the Dakota Mendota people of this region. But there was one problem. The Dakota Mendota are not a federally recognized tribe because they don't own any land. And where would you plant 4 trees if you don't own any land? So there's a church right across the hill from Fort Snelling. St. Peter's Catholic Church, the oldest church in Minnesota. So Fort Snelling is on one bluff. St. Peter's is on the other. It still has the original high steeple you might see when crossing the Mendota Bridge. And they have been doing a lot of work about their colonization of that space and their work with boarding schools back in the day and what their church was trying to represent to Dakota people as their land was taken away. And these days, they host powwows for the Dakota Mendota and offer to plant these trees on their large property just less than a mile from the confluence of these two rivers. And so today, if you go to the yard of St. Peter's Church, you can just drive right up to their back parking lot, you'll find 4 granddaughter trees, 4 bur oaks, planted very close together, and they have a fence around them for a little bit of protection, and 3 of them are thriving and getting taller. They've been in the ground since about 2001, and one of them is a little bit shorter and a little bit hunched over and a little bit gangly. And the last time I was there with a tour guide, he told our group, "I can see all of you looking at this tree, and I can see that you're worried about her. But I've been coming out here for about 15 years now, and I want you to know that she is the first one to spring leaves every spring. And she is the first one to drop acorns, and she drops a lot of acorns. And she's doing just fine. And she will find a way to both embody the struggle and the displacement of what she has been through. And she will also find a way to participate in this canopy and be part of what is still to come." So I encourage you sometime when you're over in that region to just type into your GPS St. Peter's Catholic Church and go wander down onto the lawn by the giant cottonwood tree and look for the 4 little bur oaks. And remember how one place can hold so many stories. And that there are a lot of right ways to care for the earth and tend for creation. As people of an institution, the church, as people who are accustomed to owning land and businesses and retirement plans and having social security, I wonder if dominion is not the only word that we've misunderstood in the Bible. I wonder if we're misunderstanding what it means to be an ancestor who leaves a legacy. It could be an estate. It could be a birthright. It could be an endowment. It could be an heirloom. It could be a bequest or a tradition or a gift. An heirloom or an ancestral legacy can look a lot of different ways. But perhaps the question we ask ourselves as caretakers of the earth is, how am I leaving a legacy for the whole and not just a legacy of myself? And I think this psalm and a lot of our creation psalms are inviting us back into awe and wonder for the role that we play in a collective legacy as a whole generation, not called to save the world, but to love it like it is worthy of being saved by the God who does just that. Amen.